This is Bo Spearham with Let's Talk.
You're back on Let's Talk here on 98.9 FM. If you are just tuning into the program, we're having a yarn about land defense. I was going to say land destruction. Obviously, that's what it is, but you know, there's more to it than just sort of, you know, or what's happening. As I mentioned as well earlier in the program, I do want to have a chat to different mobs around the country about some of their fights. As I mentioned, this week in Parliament, there will be the hearing for the destruction of the Duke and Gorge caves. They've been taking submissions since late last year, and I think they're opening it up to add other other mobs around the country who are fighting the same battle as well. So I'll definitely be telling my mob down home to put in a submission in regards to sort of Santos and their involvement in destroying country, and also other mining companies as well. I'm still chatting with these mob up on Cubby Country, and we're having a yarn about the protection of these sacred areas. Chatting to Diane just before, she mentioned about the cultural, she mentioned and she spoke about the cultural significance of the area where they're camping now, and the many different spots in and around this area as well. And they're still joining me on the phone as well, Diane. And also sitting with you is Whitbooker.
Yes.
Awesome, deadly. Just before going further, brother, could you tell us your name, your mob, and where you're from as well?
Yeah, I'm Whitbooker from the Carby mob from Sunshine Coast or Gympie area.
Deadly, yeah. Brother, thanks for that. Yes, I'm sure you may have heard some of the yarn that I've had with Diane as well. And this is a battle that's been going on for quite some time. How long have you been involved in the battle? Yeah, have you been there since the beginning of the camp? And did you,
We started on the 25th. We've come here because Mark Bailey said he was bringing his dozers in to start destruction. So we set up camp on the 25th, and yes, I've been here every day.
Deadly.
Every day and night.
And I guess, how long has it been sort of earmarked that, you know, this part of country?
It was earmarked back in the late 70s, and my elders told them then when they drew the line on the paper and people were talking about it, well, they said that there's a sacred site. So they've known in the late 70s that there's a sacred site, and nothing really much happened until, say, 2007, and then a few years later, they started talking to us, and 2014, they did a survey with the main roads and the archaeologists and that. And I kept telling them it's a sacred site, it's a landscape site. You know, there's stuff here all over the place, it's spread out, and they just don't listen. You know, how much do you have to do to get them to listen?
Exactly, you know, to the point where, you know, you mob are now setting up and camping here every day. And as I called this morning as well, you were just getting back, you know, from a trip. You know, could you tell us some of the stuff that you get up to at the camp as well? You know, obviously, I'm guessing, constantly watched by developers. You know, how do you sort of, you know, maintain, you know, presence at the camp?
We just got to do patrols. We go right around the borders just to make sure every hour or so, 2 hours, just to make sure the main roads haven't started to come in. We've tried to do a bit of maintenance on some sites and that, mow tracks, because we do have people wanting to learn and to stand by us. And so we've had to make tracks to different sections of the site to take, well, tourists or, you know, people in support. And we've been doing a bit of cultural stuff here, making walking sticks and all that for people, because some of the places is a bit steep and you need the sticks to get around on.
That's another good question. How has it been sort of received by locals, you know, when hearing about this development, but then also hearing, you know, there are mob out here camping because they want to, you know, protect sites?
Well, most people say, you know, jump up now, oh, what, the blackfellas want money again, or something like that.
Mm.
And it's not about money. It's about saving our cultures for our future generations. We don't want money. It's all about for protecting Kabi's peoples and generations to come.
There have been a lot of locals that have supported us, though. It's amazing. You know, people have been turning up with food and asking if we needed any help with anything. Some have stayed overnight.
And they provide a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
They bring toilets and tents and, you know, we were just about in tears when people turn up from Brisbane just to come here support us. It's not a little amount of people. It's a big mob.
And they keep coming back.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. We're so grateful that we're making good friends out of this fight.
Yeah. See, we call it Wiritjin, and this is what's happening. It's black fella and white fella working together. Either side. Because it's also a healing site. And people from not only in Australia, but all over the world used to come to this site, but the main roads have fenced it off and tried to prevent people from accessing it. But, yeah, people, you know, still come up here, sneak in here and try to get a bit of healing done and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, some people have been sneaking in trying to remove things too, the last couple of weeks especially. I don't know if they think they're hunting for treasure from the fabled Gympie Pyramid, which is what this site is called.
Well, why is it called the Gympie Pyramids?
Oh, I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that.
I was saying, why do people call it the Gympie Pyramids?
Oh, that was due to a gentleman called Rex Gilroy, who came here in the 1970s and led people to believe he was an archaeologist. He removed a lot of things from the site. People expected he would have them assessed in Sydney and then the site would be protected. But he took them to his shed, which he calls his museum, in the Blue Mountains, and they've stayed there in boxes ever since. And he dubbed this site the Gympie Pyramid, and he's made stories that it was built by Egyptians or Phoenicians. Sometimes he even mentioned Chinese. I think it depends on the day.
But
unfortunately, that propaganda spread, and there's a lot of people have come up with all sorts of ideas as to how they think this was created, because they're extremely either ignorant, and I don't mean that badly, I mean uneducated ignorant, or they misunderstand and they don't believe that First Nation people ever did anything here because of all the propaganda, which said that everybody was a nomad and that people never actually did anything on the land. So they, you know, some people believe that First Nation people didn't construct anything with stone, but if you look all over the country, there are stone constructions everywhere.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Massive, agricultural sort of achievements that, you know, Aboriginal people have done for since the beginning of time on this continent, you know.
All we could do is have a look at Chris Pascoe's books or Bill Gammage's books.
Definitely.
They read what the first explorers put in their diaries. It's actually amazing just how many things they didn't note, but the general Australian population doesn't know very much about the truth.
Well, that's sort of one of the greatest, you know, like, misconceptions and conversations that has never, you know, doesn't happen, you know, because of the education system and, you know, the lack of sort of, you know, teaching the real history of this country as well. We were just shouting about, you know, people starting to come to this area for good things and for bad things, you know, trying to take some stuff. I was just scrolling through your Facebook page as well, and as Whit Booker mentioned, you know, you were doing walks and showing different people the significance of this country as well. Has that sort of, you know, have you invited, you know, politicians or sort of local members down to say, hey, you know, this is why I want to protect it, is because of, you know, 1, 2, 3, and 4, you know, cultural significant sites around this area?
Well, to tell you the truth, we have communicated with politicians of all levels all over the country, state, local and federal, for a number of years and asked them to sit and talk with us regarding this site. No one has accepted the invitation apart from a lovely Green candidate who came here, but no other politician.
Lydia.
That's right. Yes, Lydia. Yes.
Unfortunately, she can't come here though. But the local people and anyone who's not First Nation in politics, as I said, apart from their interest from the Greens, just hasn't happened. So. And we really are grateful that the Greens are taking an interest, and we're not surprised that Labor or Liberal aren't interested.
Have you had any dialogue with sort of these companies that are sort of, you know, going to destroy the land, like these, I don't know, what do you call them, construction companies or, you know, sorry?
Yes, well, we've sent letters to them. Also, one of them, unfortunately, is a Kabi person. A Kabi person has even taken a contract to destroy this site. And it's causing a lot of angst between their immediate family and the wider Kabi Nation, which is, you know, it just is astounding to us that someone who should be protecting their culture is quite happy to take money. But we blame a lot of that on the education system, the fact that, forced assimilation, people are pressured into pretending they're not First Nation people and just wanting to be like everyone else so they don't stand out and their family aren't ridiculed, which, you know, a lot of Australians are wonderful people, but there seems to be a small minority that are very vocal, and there's still a lot of prejudice from those people all over the country. We hear stories all the time from other mobs about what's happening on their country.
Definitely. You know, we see it happening, you know, happens down in my country as well, and happens in many other parts of the world where, you know, these struggles continue to happen as well. And I guess from the lack of, I guess they acknowledge it, you know, whether it's the construction people or, you know, sorry, the developers and politicians, you know, they're obviously, you know, seeing or hearing what you're doing. They ain't doing nothing. It's at the stage now where you're set up, you know, and are you there, you know, with the, you know, your foot sort of, you know, dug firmly in the ground to stay as long as it takes?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, my people have been here for thousands and thousands of years, and, you know, there's never been a bill of sale or a treaty with my people. We rejected native title agreement or the contract with a private corporation, the Australian government. So, you know, if they're going to drag us off, it's going to be like they dragged us off back when they first came here. So that, and if they do that, well, they haven't learnt nothing over the last 200 years.
Now, definitely, you know.
We're determined that they're not going to destroy this site. The only way they'd be able to do it is kill us, because we're just not going to give up. And I should hope that the Australian government would not want to continue the genocide that has been occurring here. It's about time they woke up and started treating First Nation people all over the country as human beings.
Yes.
Instead of, you know, trash, which is the way they do treat people.
How many, if you don't mind me asking as well, is it sort of a big camp? There's quite a few people there?
Yeah, there's quite a few people right here at the moment.
Deadly.
They keep arriving, you know, all day and nights. They come, arrive, they spend some time with us, talk to us, and then they go for a journey around the site. We explain things to them, and then they hang around for a feed and all that, and then they off they go.
Deadly. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned as well, you know, as fires coming from Brisbane and different parts of southeast Queensland as well. What does it mean to sort of get the support from people as well?
Oh, well, when the first day we come here, you know, there were carloads, you know, 50 people across the road just waiting to give us a hand, you know. It brings you to tears just about, because you didn't think people really cared, but they do.
Yeah, after fighting for years and just standing on our own to do this, then all of a sudden there's support everywhere and it's been wonderful. It renews your faith in human nature.
It is, yes, Nat. Those things, you know, people power, you know, I guess is sort of,
and
public interest.
And that's all we're trying to get is the people power. And hopefully it builds up strong and hopefully people really understand the moral of protecting this site and stand with us.
You mentioned on the 28th or the 25th, the date that you said, was when they were coming in to start, wanting to develop this part of the country. Because it's set up now, have they, released sort of any information about when they will be continuing back again, or have they sort of given you a notice of intention to sort of move on, or?
Yeah, last week, I think it was, Monday, they give us a letter saying we need to move off or we'll be charged with trespass. They give us 48 hours to move off, and which we didn't. But then all these people from all over the place came here. We had a big do on the Wednesday, the day we were supposed to leave, and it just you feel it, all the energy, all the people power. And, you know, the police, the main roads, we never saw any of them.
Well, they've threatened to remove us, but we're not breaking the law here. This is a religious and spiritual cultural gathering, and they have no right to remove people from a sacred site. That would be an act of genocide. It would be in violation of Queensland's human rights laws and the Constitution. Basically, Section 116 of the Constitution says that they don't have the right to prevent the free exercise of your religious and spiritual beliefs. And if they claim that the state laws override that, they just have to look at the Constitution again, because Section 109 says that if a law of a state is inconsistent with a law of the Commonwealth, then the Commonwealth law prevails. So basically, any government department, any government employee, anyone who tries to interfere with any tribal nation on this land and prevent them from their spiritual practice and destroy their sacred sites are actually in violation of Commonwealth and state laws.
And
international law. And it's about time that they all started obeying their law. If they were obeying their law, there'd be no problem.
That's very true. And thanks for that as well. With Booker and Diane, I just want to say thanks for coming on the show this morning, making some time to have a chat about what's happening up at Gympie. We would definitely love to get you back on the program. Hopefully, you know, we can come up there and maybe do a show from up there with you, Mob, as well. Would be awesome to do so as well. And once again, just for our listeners, if you are just tuning in and you want to learn more about what's happening up there, on Kabi Country, there is a Facebook page, Kabi Dreaming, KABI Dreaming, Space Dreaming. Definitely check that out. I've just been flicking through the page as well. There's some amazing photos of the support from, you know, community, whether local or from further part, different parts of southeast Queensland. Also, some, you know, you just mentioned you were taking Mob on sort of some cultural walks to different parts of the country around that way. There's some pictures up of that. It looks amazing up there. I do urge people to sort of go check it out and have a yarn to these Mob as well about this part of country. It's an important fight to be a part of, because it's country, and it's if there's anything that we have have had and always have is our connection. And it's something that we must maintain and definitely fight for as well. But no, thank the both of you for coming on. We'd definitely love to have a chat with you, Mob, in the future as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, Wolfen.
Bye, Wolfen.
And if you are just tuning in, that was Diane and also Whipbooker from up on Cubby Country. Like I said, that Facebook page, Cubby Dreaming, definitely go check that out as well. I'm hoping, you know, I can go up that way and do some interviews up there with their Mob and from different parts of the country. You know, and I do want to sort of follow what's happening around the country with the destruction. You know, we do have Deeping Creek out here. One of the sites of one of the first missions, I believe, in Queensland. And then, you know, there's developers wanting to go in there and develop that part of the land. There's been some camps set up for a few years now. I've been occupying that country as well. It's definitely a place where people should continue to get involved in as well. That's in and around the Ipswich area. You can search for their Mob on social media as well, Deeping Creek. You know, there's heaps of this going on around the country, so if there are people out there that do want to get on and get involved, please do so. You know, and I'm hopefully going to continue these conversations throughout the week, yarning to Mob, who are on country protecting it as well. You have been listening to Let's Talk here on 98.9 FM, and we're just going to head to a song. Troy Cassadaly with Shadows on the Hill.
I see shadows on the hill up beside the old sawmill where my people were killed. I see shadows on the hill. I see shadows on the ground where the bones don't make no sound, hidden so they can be found. I see shadows on the ground. On the old Glen Innes Road, where the great man river flows, men, women, children slain, buried up there on that range. I woke up in the dead of night, saw two men in the firelight. They had scars across their chest, said their spirits cannot rest. They spoke to me in tongue, I answered back at very once. Never spoke that way before, I am not a man by long. But I see shadows on the hill up beside the old sawmill where my people were killed. I see shadows on the hill. Where the catfish makes its ring and the birds refuse to sing, voices follow family lines as they whisper through the pines. In around the granite stones, they'll forever be alone. Their killers got off free, but their shadows never leave. I see shadows on the hill up beside the old sawmill where my people were killed. I see shadows on the hill.
This is Beau Spearham with Let's Talk.
And that was Shadows on the Hill by Troy Cassadaly. An amazing song that is as well. And as I mentioned as well, I do want to continue this conversation. And if you are in Southeast Queensland, there are the Cubby mob camped. Check out Cubby Dreaming if you want to go up there and camp. And then also there's Deben Creek out in Ipswich as well. These are very important occupations where people should get involved and support, you know, the local mob fighting for country as well. And I do want to continue this conversation for the rest of the week about protecting country. You are listening to Let's Talk. And if you enjoyed the program, you can catch us. You can catch the repeat at 7 p.m. tonight, or go to our website at 989fm.com.au and follow the links to the podcast on our website, and you can listen to today's program once that's uploaded. You can also listen to previous Let's Talk our programs, and also other shows like the Brekkie and the Drive, Murray Hour, you know, all that. And you can also definitely stream us on Spotify and also Apple Podcasts. And as always, it's a pleasure. You're listening to 98.9 FM. This is Let's Talk on Murray Country.
Side by side, we walk along to the end of Gertrude Street. And we tarpaulin muster for a quart of wine. Thick or thin, right or wrong, in the cold and in the heat, we cross over Smith Street to the end of the line. Then we laugh and say, do anything to take away the pain, trying to keep it down as it first went down in Charcoal Lane. Spinning yarns and telling jokes, now the wine is tasting good, 'cause it's getting closer and closer to its end. Have a sip and roll some smokes. We'd smoke tailor-made if we could, but we just may do with some city street blend. Then we'd all chuck in and we'd start to grin. We had enough to do it again, but if things got tight, then we had to fight for Charcoal Lane. Up Gertrude Street, we'd walk once more with just a few cents short, and we'd stop at the builder's to see. And staggered home all alone, and the next day we'd do it again, have a revival in Taco Lane. I'm a survivor of Taco Lane.
Love. Bones.